I just always enjoy being around Ronnie, and especially when he's leading that music. That's fantastic. I just appreciate that, brother. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we begin today, and just commit the day to Him and all the things that that are going to be taking place today in terms of our lives and some of the decisions that we need to make and some of the experiences we'll be going through. Let's just go to Him right now. Lord Jesus, we come before You this morning, and we just begin the day by praising You for who You are, for Your majesty, Your glory, for Your mercy, for Your grace toward us. Thank You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for being who You are. And Lord, we just take the time right now just to commit the experiences of today to You. We commit this time that we're going to be spending the next hour to You. We commit our small groups to You, our times of fellowship around the meals, our free time this afternoon, the seminars this evening, the time tonight and the joy explosion. We commit the time with Dawson this morning to You. Lord, we commit all the things that are running through our mind right now to You. We, a lot of us here have some real serious and hard decisions to make about our lives, about our ministry. And we just pray that this morning and throughout the day, we'd really sense Your presence and Your guidance as You give us the courage to make the decisions that come from You. We offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, yesterday we talked about spending time alone with God and how we can do that through the Word. And not only how we can do that, but also how we can have a very practical, very simple, very fundamental approach to sharing that with kids so that they can get a grasp on it and begin to put it into practice in their own lives. A very practical way of doing that. Now, this morning we want to turn to the other aspect of spending time alone with the Lord, and that is spending time in prayer and meditation. A lot of you saw the movie Shenandoah. You remember the scene where Jimmy Stewart was playing the old farmer, and right at the first of the movie, and they came in and sat down. The big old family sat around the long farmhouse kitchen table, and as they sat there, Jimmy Stewart led them in prayer, and he looked up to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, we thank You. We've plowed the ground, we planted the crops, we cultivated them, we harvested them, we prepared them, we got them on the table, but thanks anyway, Lord." And I think that that's pretty much the concept of prayer that a lot of people that I run into who call themselves Christians, that's the concept of prayer that they have. You know, God helps those who help themselves. I mean, you know, that is in the Bible, right? And if we just, if we just come to God and just help Him out a little bit, then, we've really got something going with God. But, prayer is really so different from that. Listen to what John Wesley said. He made this statement. I think this is really more at the other extreme and the place at which we're trying to come in terms of our own prayer life. John Wesley said this. He said, "Give me 100 preachers or 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. God does nothing but in answer to prayer. God does nothing but in answer to prayer." Now, I want us to see this morning maybe how we can move and how we can move from shallow praying to in-depth praying, or how we can communicate that to our kids so that they can move from shallow praying to in-depth praying. Because I know how your kids pray. You know, thank you God for mom and dad and the missionaries. Amen. And that's about as far as they get with that. And yet God has more in mind for high school students and for college students and for us to be able to pray in more depth. Turn over to John, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. I want us to look at that for just a moment. That'll be the basis for a few of the things we want to say this morning. It says this, John 14:12. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." Amen. Now, Jesus has promised us here, you know, he did some pretty great works, but he's promised us that we would do even greater works than he did. Because what happened was he lived in his earthly body, and then he died, was raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, rules the universe, sent his Holy Spirit, the power of God within us, to move out into the world to really change the world. And so he has given us the ability, through the body of Christ, to even do greater works than he was able to do here on earth. Now why is that not happening? Let's just look at some of these greater works are. Turn over to Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 18th through 20th verses. Matthew 18, 18 through 20. And here's what it says. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he goes on to say, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that you shall ask, it shall be done for you by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Amen. And basically, I think there are two things here that he's saying that are the greater works that God has given us to do. One is to overcome the hostile forces of the world. To overcome the hostile forces of the world. You know, so many times we feel like as Christians, we're just surrounded by sin and engulfed by sin. And yet God has given us that power to overcome those hostile forces and to bind those hostile forces that are around us. And then also that it says here that we have the opportunity. Those greater works are the opportunity to get to know Jesus Christ and to have fellowship with Him. Therefore, prayer is this. Prayer is enforcing God's victory over Satan that Jesus procured at the cross. That's basically what prayer is. Mm-hmm. Prayer is enforcing Christ's victory over Satan that Jesus won for us at the cross. And it's also, let me just illustrate that for just a moment. So many times we have the concept of God that if our relationship to Him in such a way that, you know, God is kind of a vending machine, and if we put in the quarter, pull the lever, God will give the goodies, and then that's the kind of that's the kind of prayer that we have. You know, ask God, He gives us. You know, He's got all the goodies there in His vending machine. And yet the whole concept here is totally different from that, in that we are His body functioning to carry out His will in the world to overcome the hostile forces of the world and bring the world to Jesus Christ. Now, there's another aspect of prayer that comes as a result of looking at Matthew 18, 18 through 20 and John 14, 12, and that is this, that through prayer, we are joining into a full partnership with God. Boy, that is so important. We are joining into a full partnership with God. Now, that means that God makes the divine decisions, and then we, as a part of His body, have the tremendous privilege to carry out those divine decisions that He's made. A couple of illustrations of how maybe, you know, these are probably inadequate, but at least we can get the idea. The idea of a sheriff, he's the one who makes decisions for the county in terms of law enforcement. Okay, and then he's got deputies. that work for him, and these deputies carry out the decisions that he has made. And in the same, they're in a partnership together. The sheriff makes the decisions, the deputy carries them out. Or maybe even a better illustration would be that of a safety deposit box in which there are two keys. The banker holds the key and you hold the key if it's your safety deposit box. And in order for the safety deposit box to be open and to have all the riches that are in there, the jewels or money or whatever's in there, you've got to have the banker's key and you've got to have your key. And really, God has put on us through prayer that tremendous opportunity, responsibility, and privilege of saying, I've got one key, you've got the other key. If you'll use your key in prayer, then we can unlock all the riches of God to be brought into the world and to overcome the hostile forces of the world through a full partnership with me. And you know, that's exciting. That is really exciting. Because that's really what prayer is all about. Now, how does God, what are the results of those kind of greater works that John 14 12 mentioned? What are the results of those in our lives? Well, let's just look at three or four that are mentioned here in John 14, 15, and 16. The first one is in John 14, 13. Look what he says. It says that God is glorified in you. It says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So one of the results of prayer, praying in a full partnership to overcome the hostile forces of the world, is that God is glorified through you and your prayer life. Look over to John 15, 7, where he talks about abiding. One of the aspects of this full partnership or these greater works is that God is abiding in us and we're abiding in Him. Listen to what it says in verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask anything that you will and it will be done for you. Christ abiding in us, God abiding in us, is another result of the greater works that God's doing. Then look at John 15, 8. John 15, 8. Not only will He abide in us, but He will also bear fruit through us. He will bear fruit through us. It says in 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Through prayer, God gives us, and this full partnership, God gives us the ability to bear fruit in our lives. And then John 16, 24. Look at John 16, 24. We see the joy that God gives us as a result of these, of Him saying to us that He wanted us to do greater works. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now every one of these scriptures relates to that full partnership with God. And if we ask, He says, if we ask, we receive because of that partnership, because God wants to use His bride, His body, in the world to overcome the world. Well, you know, I've just seen that to be true so much in my own life. Over the last couple of years, I've had a very difficult relationship to work through. And without going into a lot of detail about that, I've really seen how God has really glorified Himself through me in that relationship. Because in prayer, I've handled that relationship not according to my natural response, which would really been different than God's response, I guarantee you. But because of God's response, God was able to get glory in that through my life. Not only that, but I was able to really sense His abiding presence in my life as a result of going through that difficult experience and having to pray through a difficult circumstance there. And not only that, but as a result of going through that situation and coming out on the other side of it, God has really borne some fruit in my life, in my own character that was not there before, and has also used that in the lives of other people to bear some fruit in their lives. And not only that, but through a very difficult circumstance, through one that where you don't usually find joy, I've been able to walk through that situation, casting my burdens on the Lord and finding real joy in that situation. Now, I really honestly believe that all of that has come through getting up early in the morning, coming to God, casting that on Him, and saying, God, I'm in full partnership with you and your response, whatever your divine command is, then I want to respond to that according to what you have in mind so that we can overcome the hostile forces of the world and I can be a part of your body in doing that. Now, with that in mind, let's just look at some other things here. How do we pray? How do we pray for these greater works? Well, I think there are five different aspects of prayer that I want to talk about the next couple of days. I just want us to look at two of them this morning and see if we can't practically apply those this morning. The first one is praise. What is praise? You know, we Southern Baptists, we have a tremendous hang-up at that point as far as what praise is, because we, you know, think if, you know, the first time we raise our hands, we're going to speak in tongues and it scares us to death, you know. So we kind of have shied away from that, but you know, we've got a lot to learn about that. Just as we read through the Psalms, it becomes very obvious that praise is such a really important part of getting to know God. Now look, here's what praise is. Praise is a response to the power and greatness and majesty of God. Praise is a response to the power, the greatness, and the majesty of God. Praise is adoring God for who He is, not for what He's done. But praise is adoring God for who He is. Praise is the open door to God's thoughts, for God's thoughts to be your thoughts, and God's character to be your character. I'll repeat that for you. Some of you are writing that down. Praise is the open door for God's thoughts to be your thoughts, for God's character to be your character. That's what praise is. Now, the question has come to me that I've asked this question of myself. Now, how do I praise God? How am I going to praise God? Well, just some real practical some suggestions here. I think one of the things that's really helped me and some other people that I know is just to read the Scripture aloud, to take a psalm and just to read that psalm aloud. Psalm 103, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That's one way we can really praise God. And all through the Psalms, there are praises to God that we can offer up to Him. Let me just share with you out of my notebook a thing that I've gotten out of another notebook that's called the 2959 Plan. Let me read a couple things here to you about praise that I think that may be helpful to you. Just pick one out of here. Lord Jesus, You are the head of all things. You are the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In You all things were created, in the heavens and on the earth. All things have been created through You and for You. You are before all things, You are in all things, and all things hold together because of You. You are the head of the body, the church. You are the firstborn from the dead, so that You yourself might have first place in all things. It was the Father's pleasure for all fullness to dwell in You, and through You to reconcile all things to Himself, whether in heaven or on earth. You are the head over all rule and authority, and in You we are made complete. Now that's just one aspect of praising God for who He is. He is the head of all things. He is the Lamb of God, the King of kings, the Savior, the bread of life, the resurrection and the life, the good shepherd, the way and the truth, the only mediator, the light of the world. He is God. And all these different scriptures that are laid out in here. Now let me tell you where you can get that notebook if you want to get it and get some of those ideas. It's called the 2959 Plan. You can order from 2600 Park Avenue, Titusville, Florida. Now, that's one way to praise God. Praise God by reading the Psalms. Praise God by taking some scriptures and putting them together about who God is. Okay, now, another way to praise God is to sing songs. Now, I can't sing worth a lick.
Amen.
Boy, thank you, Steve. And that's true. I can't. But, you know, I just get down in my basement, the place where I go for my time alone with the Lord in the morning, and I just sing to the Lord. You know, He understands. He's the one that's responsible for my voice. So I just sing back to Him. And you know, there are all kinds of songs that we can sing to the Lord that are praise songs. Songs like "How Great Thou Art," "He's Everything to Me," "Holy, Holy, 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 Holy," "Worthy is the Lamb," "Thy Loving Kindness," just "Father, I adore You," just song after song that we can sing that are praise songs to the Lord that really honor Him and really bring our lives to the place where we can really be in that relationship to Him, where we are adoring God for who He is. Okay, now, we can praise God through singing songs. And then I think out of that comes a spontaneous flow of praise. And what I try to do is I just try to stay there and praise the Lord through reading psalms back to Him or through singing songs to Him until spontaneously that praise just begins to come out of my life for Him, for who He is. And by the way, as far as praise is concerned, I found that to be the greatest deterrent and overcomer of depression and discouragement Amen. That I've ever found.
Amen.
See, we tend to do this. This is not original with me, but I think it may be helpful to you. Here we are. We tend to gaze at our problems. And to glance at God. But in reality, what needs to happen is these two need to be switched around, where I'm gazing at God and glancing at my problems. And as I praise God, then that helps me to be able to do that, to overcome that depression and that discouragement in my life. Found that to be a very effective way of doing that. That's praise. We need to learn how to praise God. And then another aspect of prayer that's really important if we're going to accomplish these greater works is to have a clean life, a life that is constantly before God confessing, a life of continual repentance. I guess that's what confession is, continual repentance before God and coming before God and just looking at my own life as it relates to God and the sin areas of my life and constantly bringing those before Him. Confession is my response to the holiness of God. It's my response to the holiness of God. It's admitting to God, God, I've blown it. I made a mess. I wiped out on this one. Confession is breaking down the sin barrier. I don't know whether you've ever felt this or not, but a lot of times I felt like, well, boy, my prayers really are not going above the ceiling. And a lot of times we feel that way because there's a tremendous barrier here between us and God. God's here, or He's in us, and we'll just use this for sake of illustration, but here we are. And I pray, boy, it just goes up to God and comes right back down. It just goes up to God and it just comes right back down. And the reason is because of that sin barrier that's there between God and me, that keeps me from having that vital relationship to Him. Now, I think confession is also just accepting. It's a matter of accepting God's forgiveness and God's promise for forgiveness. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes his sin shall have mercy, shall find mercy. Now, I think those are some of God's promises as far as confession is concerned. And if we just claim those promises for cleansing, then I found for my own self that He gives that cleansing. And He's faithful to His promise to make me clean. Now, how do we confess to God? How do we do that? Several things. I think a part of it is just looking at the Scripture as we come before God day by day. We may want to say something like back to God, like Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And if we can come before God just asking Him to do what He's promised that He would do, then I think that's a good start on confession. You may want to look at Psalm 51 or Psalm 32 and just read that to God to get your heart and mind in the attitude and the frame of reference to confess to God. And then we've written a little outline in that the notebook, the green notebook that you have there. Let's see if I can find it here in mine. On confession. And we've just tried to list out some things that will spark your mind as far as confession is concerned. Things like we say here, Lord, I've blown it and I need you because I haven't allowed you into certain areas of my life. And that immediately sparks, okay, now what areas of my life? I haven't let your mind be my mind. What part of my mind is not his mind? I haven't believed that you could do what you promised. Where haven't I believed God? Basically, Lord, I haven't had much faith. Lord, I've blown it and I need you because I haven't disciplined myself. I eat too much. I sleep too much. I don't work enough. Basically, I've been lazy. Lord, I've blown it because, and I need you because I kill and I cheat. I hate and I lust. Basically, I haven't kept your commandments and this is sin. And those, and just a couple of pages there that will help you and help your kids to really spark some thoughts in their mind where they can come before God and confess their sins to Him in real honesty. Amen. Before Him. Amen. And as a result of that, you and the kids that you work with can experience a clean life before God. Now, one of the things that that helps me to do day by day and sitting down for a period of time periodically and doing this is taking just a sheet of paper in my notebook, and I just keep a sheet of paper in my notebook, and I date it. And when I've really blown it with God, I just enter in there. I say, God, today I blew it, and this is what happened. And then I just claim God's promise for cleansing in that. And there are times I know, and maybe we'll need to do this some this morning, just to sit down and take a sheet of paper and just list out my sins before God and claim God's cleansing for that in my life. And then to make sure that we do claim God's promises, like 1 John 1:9, Proverbs 28:13, and Psalm 103:12. And then I think I mention this because sometimes we're in the revival syndrome or the rededication syndrome, you know, where people come every 6 months and they come and rededicate their life and they get all that junk out of their life, and then 6 months to a year later they come back to another conference or something, or you know, or another revival or another camp or something, and they do that again and they kind of live their Christian life that way. Where in reality, what we need to be doing ourselves and teaching our kids to do is to daily confess their sins to God and keep a clean slate before God day by day. And so I mention that to you just simply for the sake of impressing upon you and your kids the fact that daily confession is what's really, really significant. So that I don't have to come every 6 months and rededicate my life to my church, because really what's happening is I'm confessing and rededicating my life to God day by day. It's really what's taking place. Okay, now, what I'd like for us to do this morning is I'd like for us to spend a few minutes. We've got some time. I'd like for us to just take about 15 or 20 or 30 minutes, something like that. And I'd just like for us to be quiet. I want us to praise God. I want you to spend some time in confession. I want you to do that in your own quiet way there, right where you are, if you want to get up and walk down the hall or sit someplace else or whatever. And we'll be back in about, I'd say let's come back in 15 at 20 till if you want to leave here. But I just want us to be very quiet. I want us to concentrate this morning on praising God, and I want us to concentrate on confessing our sin to God. Those two aspects of prayer, we're going to get to the others tomorrow, but those two aspects of prayer, I'd like for us to concentrate on those. And put into practice some of the things that we've been saying. You've got some things on praise there in that green note, your green notebook. You've got some things on confession there. And you can just spontaneously praise God and realistically confess your sin to God, maybe even writing down on a sheet of paper those things. And then we're going to come back and have a time of praise and a time of celebration here just before we move in the next session. So make sure you come back at 9:45 at the latest, okay, if you're going to leave. So let's all, no talk, we won't talk, we'll just be still, and you just be with the Lord yourself. Okay?